Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation this day, the Holy Spirit has caused to be written in the 16th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel as it was just read. In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, for those of you who keep track of such things, it is true that the last time I preached in chapel, the assigned text for the day was John 8, the account of the woman caught in adultery. Today, the assigned reading is the longer ending of the Gospel of St. Mark, and Dr. Grimm assures me he will assign me 1 John 5 the next time I preach so that I can complete the trifecta of questionable pericopes. Okay, it's public confession time. 26 years ago, I enrolled in and took a two-week intensive course in Atlanta, Georgia, sponsored by Fuller Theological Seminary, entitled Church Growth 1, from none other than Dr. C. Peter Wagner, one of the leading gurus of the church growth movement. It was a fascinating course, 60 students, including two LCMS pastors, one Episcopalian priest, and an assorted variety of Pentecostals, Seventh-day Adventists, Southern Baptists, and various other non-confessional and non-liturgical groups. On the Saturday evening, between the 2 weeks, we journeyed to a snake-handling church around Kingston, Georgia, for their worship service. They started out a singing and a stamping their feet and a clapping their hands for about a half hour or so, and then got out the snakes, copperheads. Now, I'll be real honest. I was an unbeliever. And I was sitting near the back door just in case one of those snakes was also an unbeliever. But those up in front were holding them up in their hands and dancing around the stage. I apologize, I have difficulty calling it a chancel. And one old lady took one and wrapped it around her neck. And after about a half an hour of this, the head elder got up and said, "Now, we specially brought Brother Prinz here tonight from North Carolina to preach to you folks. He's going to preach for 2 or 3 hours, and then we'll go home." And I thought, you've got to be kidding. He wasn't kidding. He preached for 2 hours and 6 minutes about snakes in the Bible. And I think there was no snake text through which he didn't slither. Toward the end of the sermon, he took a rattlesnake out of its cage and held it up, but not for very long. But one other significant event happened toward the end of the sermon. The head elder's wife was sitting in the front in a wheelchair. She'd suffered a stroke 13 years earlier and couldn't walk. And the preacher looked right at her and said, "Now I know that one day Sister Lucy will get up out of that chair and will walk again, just as soon as she has enough faith." A couple of weeks later, I was at the ordination of Al Garco, a graduate of this seminary, and after the service was talking with Dr. Richard Schlecht, our district president. At the time, I was chairman of the Michigan District Worship Committee and was planning the opening worship service for the district convention a little later that month. I said to him, Dick, I've got this wonderful idea for the opening service. And I told him about what I had just attended. He looked at me and said, I'll tell you what, you try it first at Christ our Savior and let me know how it goes. Well, why do I spend such a large portion of the somewhat less than 2 hours and 6 minutes allotted to this homily to tell this whole story? It all hinges on one point. I know Sister Lucy will get up from that chair and walk again, just as soon as she has enough faith. When that preacher, and his son, by the way, died of a snake bite a few years later, when that preacher said that, I just thought, what a guilt trip. How much faith is necessary to pick up serpents safely? How much faith is necessary to drink poison safely? How much faith is necessary to heal the sick? How do you quantify it? How do you measure faith? If you can't do these things, do you not have enough faith? And more important than those questions is this one. How much faith is necessary to be saved? When your emphasis is on the signs, and the signs become the important part of your spiritual life, when they become the measure by which faith is judged, what do you do when you don't measure up? How can you ever be sure? I recall a few years ago pulling out a sermon I had written many years earlier and reading a series of sentences that began, if you really believe, and they were followed, of course, by you will, and the rest of the sentence really doesn't matter. And with hopefully a bit more theological maturity, I thought to myself, how could you have written that? If you really believe, you will not desert Paul in Pamphylia. Could have been said to Mark, whose day we observe today. He did desert Paul, and Paul didn't forget it when he began his second missionary journey, refusing to take Mark along and even separating from Barnabas over their disagreement about Mark. But Mark grew stronger. And later on, as we know and as we read in the epistle today, he was of great help to Paul. Fortunately, Mark was not consumed by guilt, for he knew the words of Jesus, which he recorded in this text. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Jesus doesn't say how much faith. He doesn't require a measurement. Just believe. Mark was a recipient of the pure grace of God. It operated in his life. It worked faith in him. It grew in him. And so in us. And so in your future parishioners. So we go. Go into all the world, the theme of our 50th anniversary year. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Preach the word. No requirements, no measurements, no quantification. Just preach the word of God's magnificent grace. Preach the word of Jesus, the word Mark has so succinctly recorded in his short gospel. Jesus' miraculous conception and birth, His life of service, his suffering and sacrificial death for our sins, his glorious resurrection, his words of assurance to his disciples, his triumphant ascension into heaven. Just preach the word, and people will believe, and they will be saved, and they will grow in grace, and they won't need a guilt trip laid on them so that they wonder if their salvation is secure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.